in the manifestations and in Michelle's prayer, God, the Creator God. So that's what I'd like to get into a little this morning. Last week, Sid did a great teaching on fear and not having fear. And I got to thinking about what kind of fear do I have in my life? What am I afraid of? Why shouldn't I be afraid? What makes the difference? What's, you know, living in this world, in the insanity, especially now, and it gets worse. It's never going to get any better until Christ removes us. But I got to thinking about that fear. Fear of what? Why should we have any fear to begin with? I mean, why bother? It's an emotion. It's a terrible emotion to have. So why bother? The word says, let's go to Genesis 1. In the beginning, God, that's Elohim, the Creator God, created the heaven and the earth. And the earth became without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, He spoke it. Let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And it was so because God said it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And let's go to verse 14. He continues on doing his thing with the trees and the seed and the this and the that that blesses so much. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. Now we're going to take a little science lesson. We're going to have a science lesson. The Earth is in the Milky Way galaxy. It contains our solar system. A galaxy is a huge collection of gas, dust, and billions of stars and their solar systems. A galaxy is held together by gravity. The Milky Way is 100,000 light years across and 1,000 light years thick. It has about 400 billion stars in it. This is what Genesis is talking about. Our solar system and Earth is located about 27,000 light years from the rim of the Milky Way and 27,000 light years from the middle. A light year is 6 trillion miles. There's more than one galaxy in the universe. Ours is one of the smaller ones. Our moon is 238,900 miles away. The diameter of the observable universe is 41 billion light years. That's what's in the observable universe. And so this question was asked, well, what's beyond the observable universe? The science say, oh, probably infinity. I was like, yeah, it probably is. Infinity. That's the only answer they can come up with. Yeah, well, we knew that. So let's go to Psalm 96. That's the Creator God. When you realize the magnitude of His spoken word, what He spoke, what He did, how He put everything in order, and everything is in order. Time, everything is in order. Everything. And it's the same all the time. It doesn't change. You know, the earth rotates. We have gravity. Gravity doesn't stop. It doesn't change. All of God's timing and everything he set in that universe in the earth is perfect. And it's the timing is always perfect. The moon rises, it pulls the tides. The sun comes up, the sun always comes up. You know, no matter what's going on in this world, how bad it gets, what your diagnosis might be, the sun will come up in the morning. You can always count on the sun will come up. That's the greatness, the magnitude of God's creation. Did you think that, you know, you think in billions of light years, and a light year is 6 trillion miles. How vast, how magnificent is that? God said it. God spoke it. He put it back into order. God said, okay, let there be lights. He made the stars also. He threw that in. And he made the stars also. And he put them in for signs and for seasons. We have seasons. God set the stars as signs. Signs of what? Not zodiac signs, so you go to it and find out if you're going to get a job next week. But signs so that man could know that there was a coming Savior. Let's go to Psalm 96, like I said. I think sometimes I'm an outdoor person, really an outdoor person. I so appreciate God's creation. If you've ever been in Arizona in the desert and you lay down in a sleeping bag at night, you've been out there, Jay, so have I a lot of times. You lay down in a sleeping bag on the desert floor. The stars are, it literally, it's like a blanket over you. And they're like this close, aren't they, Jay, when you do that in the desert. It is far beyond what our minds can measure or fathom, but that's the Creator God. That's the Creator God. He did that. And when you see the desert in bloom, all the flowers, the colors are perfection. Red is red. Purple is really purple. It's not hybrid, touched by man. When the desert blooms, it's all wild. No man goes out there and does anything to it. It's all wild. And it's perfect. And you look at those flowers and you're like, this is unbelievable. And everything has a purpose and a reason to it. It's like on Facebook sometimes, people show the depth of the ocean and the mammals and the fish and whatever that are down deep in the ocean. It's just mind-blowing. And nobody's going to see that but God. And he must like color and he must like sound. Because the animals make sounds. And the plants, the trees, the flowers, everything has color to it, vibrant, beautiful colors to it. You look at a lily of the valley, a little tiny flower on a stem this big, and it's a little teeny tiny bell. It's a lily of the valley. It's so beautiful. And the odor of that little teeny tiny flower, they're my favorite, by the way, that lilacs and lilies of the valley. That little teeny tiny flower, that little bell-looking flower, is pure white, and it has a little yellow, what do you call it inside, for the pollen, yeah. And it has the most pungent odor you've ever smelled in your life. A little teeny tiny thing like that. You bring a little bouquet this big into the house and you'll have the most beautiful odor you've ever smelled in your life. The same with lilacs. But that little teeny tiny lily of the valley. Jesus Christ is called the lily of the valley. So pure and such a great smelling odor. It's magnificent what God did. He's magnificent. There are no human words to describe the greatness of what he did to have us, to have a family. Oh, Psalm 96, sorry. Those are little asides, I guess. You see the great mountains and everything, the forests and everything that goes with it. And it's just, you know, like Niagara Falls. Things like that. You're in awe. Because you're in awe of the Creator. You're not in awe of the creation. You're in awe of the Creator and His hand in all of that. Psalm 96, verse 4. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared or revered. He is to be revered above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Must He remind us all the time? That's why all of this is around us all the time. How many, you know that old saying, stop to smell the roses? That is so true. Once in a while, go outside, take a deep breath, and look up at the moon and the stars, and just praise God for what He's done and who He is and what He's done for us. Psalm 147. And then He put all of that into motion for His man. Verse 4, Psalm 147, verse 4. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. We can never understand Him. We can believe what He writes to us, what He says in His word. But He has infinite understanding. And by His knowledge and understanding, He set everything in motion. Like our one galaxy, the Milky Way, just one. And there's billions and billions and billions of stars in the sky. Too bad that we can't see them like we'd like to. Maybe like Adam did in the garden in paradise. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Be in paradise. Isaiah 40. These are just a few I picked out to show His greatness and His magnificence. Isaiah 40, 25. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of His might, for that He is strong in power. Not one faileth. Nothing that He created fails. The earth has not failed, has it? We're still spinning on our axis. We still have the sun and the moon and all the stars. The plants are growing. The animals are still out there multiplying. Like to shoot some of them, birds, squirrels. But everything has a purpose, and everything He did had a meaning and a purpose, and it was to bless men. So, knowing that, the greatness of God, go to Numbers 23. I'm so used to using my phone now, I can't find numbers. Well, yes, I can, but... Numbers 23, 19. Everybody's familiar with this. And I have to turn pages in this, too. I almost forget. 23:19. I'm still in 22. Oh, brother, get with it. God is not a man that He should lie, neither the Son of Man that He should repent or change His mind. Hath He not said, and shall He not do it? Or hath He spoken, and shall He not make it good? Everything that God speaks, everything that He says, is truth. When you believe, it will come to pass. If He speaks it, He means it. It's truth. And when we believe it, it comes to pass. So after God got finished with all the creation, He also made, formed, and created man. And of course, man sinned, disobeyed God, and lost spirit. But God brought forth His Son, Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, the Messiah, the Savior of all mankind. and God created spirit in us when we believed Romans 10, 9 and 10. The same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is in you and is in me. We absolutely have no reason to fear anything ever at any time. If you are afraid, you need to stop, take a breath, and think about these scriptures I'm about to read. Go to 2 Chronicles 20. There is never any reason to be afraid. The guy that set the universe in motion, who put this little planet Earth in the middle of a galaxy with a constellation, set the stars in place so that mankind would know a Redeemer was coming, who causes the rain to fall and the birds to fly, put an instinct in the birds so they know where to fly in the winter, put an instinct in animals so they know what to do when they're afraid, like that big tsunami, remember, in Sri Lanka and India. And about an hour before that happened, all of the elephants and the animals went up into the mountains. Nobody could figure out what they were doing. An hour later, there was a tsunami. God, let me tell you something. If you have spirit, he told you too. He would tell you too. But God put instinct in the animals. That same God that did all of this says these things in his word. 2 Chronicles 20. The same God, the creator God. You got to remember who he is and have awe and respect for him and his handiwork and what he's done for us. Because we get so caught up in this world and the negativities in the work and the job and the everyday routines and the finances, the health, the this, the that, the this, the that, that we just get overwhelmed with things and we forget to stop and think what the Word says. We forget to stop. That's why we get afraid. If we don't think what the Word says, then that's why we get afraid. 2 Chronicles, yeah. Sorry, thanks. They were about to have a big battle. Jehoshaphat was in a big battle, and there were thousands and thousands of army coming around him. And they had gone and praised God. And in verse 15, he said, "Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and now King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. The battle is not mine. The battle is God's through his Son, Jesus Christ, who has already given us the victory over sin, death, Satan, all temptation. The battle is not yours, but God's. Don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. The battle is not yours, but God's." They were surrounded by an army that they had no way to defeat. They had nothing to fight with. They had been praising God, but they knew that they, sense knowledge-wise, they would be killed, all of them. All of them. And God stepped in and said, Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. I absolutely love that. I tell myself that every once in a while. The battle is not yours, it's God's. Isn't that great? So why fear? The Creator God is telling you, the guy that made light years, 6 trillion miles long, is telling you, the battle is not yours, but God's. The battle is mine. As long as you stand and believe what he says, the battle is his. You can count on it. You can bet your life on it. Now let's go to Isaiah 41. We never have a reason to fear anything. You have to grab your mind and remember who God is, especially in situations that are, because I know sudden fear can come. Like if you get a diagnosis from the doctor that is like, you know, it's devastating in the senses realm. You have to grab your mind. You know, even if battle is not mine, it's God's. The battle is not mine, it's God's. Any little verse that you can put in there, any part of the scripture that you can instantly put in your mind to think of, and think of His greatness, His magnitude, His majesty. You know, the creator of the heavens and the universe. Billions and billions of stars He set in place. And He's not going to take care of me. He's not going to fight my battle. What? I mean, why did He bother with all of this to leave us alone to fight our own battles? He didn't. First of all, He sent a Savior. Second of all, through that Savior, we have the victory. Isaiah 41. I love this here. I love this. 41:10. Stella has this on her refrigerator. Fear thou not. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Look at what he, over and over. The first thing he says is what? Fear thou not. Don't be afraid. You know, that's the first thing he always says. Fear thou not. Don't be afraid. Because he knows us, and he knows what fear can do to you. It can overwhelm you. It can get you to thinking the wrong things until you're just so far down. You know, you can't let the fear get hold of you till you're to the point that you're discouraged and dismayed. And some things are discouraging in life. They are. Let's face it, we live in this world. But God says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. No matter what happens, I am with thee. Doesn't matter if you go down to the depths of hell, the deepest sea, the highest mountain, no matter where, He is with us. Fear thou not, be not dismayed. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And look at verse 13. This is a verse I tell myself all the time. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Isn't that brings tears to my eyes. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. The creator of the heavens and the universe. 6 trillion miles in a light year. The creator God, the one who put it all in motion to have us as His family, says, fear not, I will help thee. He will take our right hand. He will lead us through. He will help us overcome temptation to not believe. He will show us. He will guide us. He will direct us. He will keep us. He will strengthen us. He will love us through. He will carry us over through the darkest night and the deepest ocean. Because He created those things. He can help us. He will help us. But He says, fear not, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand. the Creator will hold my right hand. If the doctor says you have cancer throughout your entire body, God Almighty, the Creator, the one who made the Savior come for me, will hold my right hand, saying unto me, fear not, I will help thee. Where else would you want to get your help from? Where? There is no place else. There is no one else. Only God. It's only God. It is always only God. It is by His grace and mercy that He will help us. He will continuously help us. He will never forsake us. Isn't that? Now, why do we have to be afraid? What should we be afraid of? Anything? Ever? But we have to put that in our minds and our hearts to where we're walking like that. No matter what the situation. Remember Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego? I've often asked myself, would you really walk in that damn furnace? I don't know. But they did. Said, well, God's with us. And walked in that burnt man up that started the furnace, you know? And God had an angel in there. They didn't know that till they went in. But they had confidence in their God that He would help them. He would hold their right hand. And He did. What about Daniel in the lion's den? God closed the mouths of the lions. God speaks to the animals. God owns the animals. God created the animals. Why couldn't He stop the lion? And we get afraid when a bee's flying around our head. Oh my God. Oh my God. Get away. Oh my God. Yeah, that's us. We got a lot of nerve, don't we? But God parted the Red Sea. Who does that? God parted the Red Sea so His people could walk across on dry land. And when the enemy started across, He drowned their butts. In a minute. You know what I mean? Unbelievable God. The things that He does. And then to top it all off, they killed Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son. And don't you know God got Him up? God got Him up. But that's got Him right up by the Spirit. The same Spirit that is in us. Now let's close out with Jeremiah 32. I just love reading this stuff in the Old Testament. Because it applies to us. Will not God hold your right hand and help you? Of course He will. You're His child. That's what He longed for. That's why He did all of that. Jeremiah 32. I love this one. This is one of my favorites. In fact, if anybody notices, I keep this in the prayer room every single year. Every year. 32:17. Oh, Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by Thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for Thee. Now go down to verse 27. This is my favorite. This is in the prayer room every year. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for Me? Is there anything too hard for God? According to His word, once you realize what He set in motion, what surrounds us, how He created the heaven and the universe, how He brought forth a Savior, raised Him from the dead, Jesus Christ passed through the heavenlies. I can hardly wait for that. I mean that, you know, just thinking about those things, then why would you be afraid? I mean, what could possibly scare you out of the Word? We got to be nuts. If we let something frighten us out of the Word, out of believing God, might happen for a second, but you get hold of your mind and you ask yourself, or you tell yourself, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? I don't think so. Not according to what he says in his word. So, Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we don't need to fear, that we have nothing to fear at all, because you are the creator of the heavens and the universe. You are the spectacular God, the magnificent God, the loving and gracious God that called us to be your children and set all of this in motion just so we could be here and be blessed. We're thankful, Father, for our Savior Jesus Christ and that you quickened him, raised him from the dead, seated him at your right hand, and that we will soon be with you and soon be with him face to face. And we glorify you and praise you, Father, because of all your mighty works and because of the mightiest work of all, raising Christ from the dead and putting your spirit within each and every one of us. So we pray and we're thankful, Father, in his name. Amen.